you can operate in the same power that Jesus has. Signs and wonders did not pass away over time. Learn more on today's Believer's Voice of Victory from Gloria Copeland and her special guest Billy Brim as they share the keys to walking in victory.
Hello, everybody. I'm Gloria Copeland, and welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory. Our dear friend Billy Brim from Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks is with us all this week. It's been great, and we have been enjoying what she's given us and gleaning from it. We're growing. Hallelujah. We appreciate you, Billy.
Well, thank you, Glo.
You're a blessing.
Appreciate you. Bless the Lord. You're a darling, precious believer.
We just love each
other,
don't we?
And a good friend. We do. We just love each other. And I love Kenneth. And we just come, and I get to come down here, and it's like my house down there at her house.
She makes herself at
home. I make myself right to home, pipe up when I want to pipe up about something.
And it's okay.
But we have a lot of good fun. And I'm telling you, I glean so much from you and your husband. And,
oh,
and we sit at that little counter and eat our meals.
Yes.
And
we have good services.
We have good
right
services
there.
Right there. And Brother Copeland and I, she went to bed last night, and Brother Copeland and I continued. And
oh, no telling what
I'm telling you. It was good. It reminded me when Sister Grace, you know, Clara Grace, mm-hmm. she'd go visit Brother Hagin. And she'd tell that Aretha'd go off to bed, and her and Brother Hagin sit up there talking
that.
About the Bible, you know.
Yeah.
It's so wonderful. You know, the Bible says we talk about the Bible when we walk around. We're supposed to talk about uh-huh. the Bible when we sit down. The Word of God, that's what it says
it
in Deuteronomy.
It should be in us to such a degree that that's what comes out.
That's exactly right. And that really is how it is. And so we've been talking about all this week. And you know, Gloria, Ken had a letter that he wrote, a partner letter. And I don't know that I have it out here. Oh, give me one of those little things. Here it is. Brother Kenneth Copeland wrote a partner letter about the things he'd learned when he worked
this was
for
great.
Oral Roberts.
I didn't even know it until I saw
you
the
You didn't
partner
know it because you're not on the partner list, probably. Not on the mailing
well,
list.
Well, I got the letter.
And I got this in the
I
mail.
I wasn't there at the moment he got it.
No, they just probably handed you the letter.
This is great.
But he put down the sayings and different little things that have impacted his life. And here's the letter that he wrote. I suppose they would still send you a copy if you want one. It's worth writing for in this little card. And he wrote down the things that Brother Roberts taught him. Something good is going to happen to you. Believe it. Expect it. And but this one I want to look at today. The first two questions that must be answered are, will it meet the needs of the people, and will it win souls? And God's all about loving people and meeting the needs of people. And I'm trusting God that today and tomorrow are going to help meet the needs of people
yes.
who are bothered by devils. And we're going to talk about
good.
God's power over devils. And He gave it to believers. And so we've been looking at Mark 16, and we closed with this yesterday. And this is Jesus. These are the last words He said to them. Last thing He talked about. And this is Mark 16, and verse, we'll start with verse 15. He had appeared now to all the disciples, you know, and He's risen from the dead. And He said unto them in verse 15, Mark 16, 15, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Remember Romans 1, 16 says, the gospel is the dunamis of God, the power of God. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And that's talking about the baptism mm-hmm. of the Holy Ghost baptizing you into the body of Christ. Now, these signs shall follow them that believe. We looked up the Greek words translated power, signs, and wonders. And signs is a Greek word which means it is something you can see that signifies that the message you've heard
yeah,
is truth.
That's good, yeah.
It confirms that message. So these signs shall follow them that believe. Not just the preachers, not just the evangelists, apostles, pastors, the believers.
That's right.
You, me. In my name shall they cast out devils.
That's a
And that's
sign.
What we're going to talk about today and tomorrow, casting out devils. When I was baptized with the Holy Ghost, before I was attending a denominational church. I was very active in it.
Were they casting out devils?
They weren't casting out any devils.
I'm not sure
they believed in devils.
I
was teaching the junior Sunday school class. And the junior Sunday school class, you had a teacher's quarterly as well as the student's quarterly so that you could have the teacher's quarterly and appear smarter than the students.
Yes, that's right.
And so in the teacher's quarterly, we would go, every 3 years, we'd go all through the New Testament. And there it was, Jesus had cast out a devil, and it was in the lesson that day. And here is the commentary in the quarterly. In that day, people believed that sickness was caused by devils. So Jesus went along with the belief of the times, and
he didn't know the difference.
Oh, brother.
Is
that right? It's as if he pretended there was a devil and he cast it out. It was so confusing.
Billy, you're kidding me.
I am not kidding you. Now, by this time, I had been filled with the Holy Ghost, and I'd been going down there to Brother Hagin's, and I'd seen some devils cast out, you know, and him take authority over devils. And I thought, how stupid this is. To say that Jesus would go along with a lie or a myth. What if they believed in some kind of a two-headed God? Would he go along with a myth of that, you know? No! He's the truth. And so they didn't evidently do much about devils. And now I think they've changed because Billy Graham came out saying they were devils, so then they all changed. But these signs shall follow them that believe in my name shall they cast out devils. Man, oh man, he put it first. That's because Brother Hagin said in one of his teaching about devils, demons, and demon possession, if you could see into the spirit realm, the very air about you is infested with devils. But there's at least twice as many angels.
That's
greater
right.
Is he that's in you than he that is in the world. But Satan is the god of this world when Adam abdicated the throne. And we went into great detail of teaching about that. And this book, The Triumphant Church, Dominion Over All the Powers of Darkness.
What a book.
It's an amazing book. And it's about that we are triumphant. And greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And the fact that where devils come from, who these demons are, why they have a right to be all around you. Because when Adam gave up his dominion over the world, Satan, it's all in here, set up a double kingdom system around the world. And then over the areas, there's the prince of Persia that Daniel
yes.
and the angel had to contend with coming to Daniel. There's the prince of Grecia that it speaks about. These are seats that should have been occupied and ruled from by Adam, but in the double kingdom system, they have been taken over by devils working under the god of this world, the prince of the power of the air, the New Testament calls him. That's where Satan has set up his ruling kingdom. How long will he be there? He will be there for the length of Adam's lease. He has legally got the right. Adam turned it over to him to sit in those places. Now, during the millennium, the church will sit in those seats. They will be the overrulers. They will be the overlords. They will rule from those heavenly double kingdom system seats.
Right.
And right now, the church, Ephesians chapter 1 and 2, meditate in it. When God raised Christ from the dead, it says in Ephesians chapter 2, he raised us from the dead.
That's right.
When he quickened him, he quickened us. When he raised him, he raised us. And he seated us with him far above all principality, power, might, and dominion, and every name that is named. He gave us that seat, and that seat is our authority over the devil.
Now we have to take
now
that
we
authority.
Have to take it and use it.
That's right.
And we can. That's why you cast out devils.
That's right.
You can cast them out of people, and sometimes you have to. But you can cast them out of your life.
That's right.
Out of your path. I run devils off every morning from Prayer Mountain. I don't let them around Prayer Mountain. I put up a blood shield. And I wrote a book, The Blood and the Glory. And it talks about that. And there's another book that you need, The Authority of the Believer by John A. McMillan.
Yes,
that we are seated up there, and how you can sit up there every single day and take your authority over devils and not let them have a high carnival in your life.
That's
if
right.
you don't know they're there, and you open the door to them, It says in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 27, neither give place to the devil. The Bible says he's going around like a roaring lion, seeing whom he may devour.
He takes what he can.
He may, right. He may. Whom he may. If you give him the right to come into your life, if you open a door to him, if you give him a place, it says in Ephesians, neither give place to the devil. He'll come in there.
I'm not going to do it either.
And we're going to talk about that today and tomorrow.
Good.
And here Jesus said, these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. There's not one hint in the New Testament that the church is to ever be overcome by a devil.
That's right.
Now, that's not to say some Christians are not overcome by devils. I know some good Christians that are really bothered by devils. They're not possessed by devils. But devils bother their minds. Devils bother their bodies,
right.
Not their spirits. No, a spirit of a Christian, a devil can't live in there with the Holy Ghost. There's not room for both of them. And it's your spirit that's born again. You are a spirit. You have a soul. And in that soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. He'll try to get into that mind. He'll try to get into your will. Mm-hmm. He'll try to get into your emotions. And if you give him a place in you, he can do it. He can also get into your body. So we're going to talk about those things, but we want to start off here. There's always in preaching the gospel, you preach it, Paul said, in word and deed.
That's right.
He preached it, he said, and we read it yesterday in Romans 15, 18, and 19. He preached it in dunamis, power, signs. He preached it in word and with dunamis, signs, and wonders. You need signs to show that what you're preaching is truth. So God, Jesus, is God, and he said, these signs shall follow them that believe. The gospel's the power of God to the believers. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. We're not going to go into that so much, but we're talking about when they were baptized in the Holy Ghost, they spoke with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. Now, this is like Paul did on Malta. You don't worship God by having some kind of a serpent taking up
snake handling
deal. But Paul, he shook that serpent off into the... He was gathering sticks to make a fire, and a serpent came out, a death serpent that could kill you in an instant, came out and struck him. He shook that thing off, and the natives watched him. They waited for him to die. And when he didn't, well, then they accepted the Lord. Why?
It
was a sign that what Paul preached was truth.
That's right.
If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. Now, that is not that you go out drinking poison and testing God. But if you go somewhere and somebody tries to give you some poison or taint your food, my little Hannah, she had food poisoning once. And every time she prays over the meal, she removes any poison from it.
Good.
So that takes the poison out of Hannah's food, and she's not going to eat a deadly thing and have that food poisoning again. If they eat any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover.
That's right.
A sign that Jesus Christ wants you to have, that when you tell someone about the good news and the gospel, you will be able to lay your hands on them and minister to them, the sick, and they shall recover. Hallelujah. Bless
Praise
the Lord.
Praise God. That's right.
So then, verse 19, after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with... Now, you can just cross out that word them. It's not there. It's italicized. The Lord working with and confirming the word with signs following. You are to proclaim the word, like Paul said, in word and deed, and the Lord will work the signs to follow you. Now, yesterday we were going off the broadcast. Gloria said, isn't that amazing? The last thing he said to them was about signs and wonders. And confirmation of the gospel. And so then there's another book that also goes into more detail about that ascension of Jesus, and that's the book of Acts. In the book of Acts, it tells us that he, this is the only place it tells us this, that he had walked among them after he was risen 40 days and showed them signs and wonders. And then he told them, do not depart from Jerusalem until you receive the promise of the Father. The promise of the Father was the Holy Ghost. He had spoken to them about the Holy Ghost from John 14 on. that the Holy Ghost was going to come. Now, the Holy Ghost is the power of God. He is the dunamis of God. He tells them, don't you leave Jerusalem. You wait. Don't go out of town and start your own ministries. There's 120 of them. They're following him. You wait for the Holy Ghost. You need the power.
Yes.
You can preach the word all right, but you got to have the power. So wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, you've heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. John G. Lake said, electricity is the power of God in the natural realm. The Holy Ghost is the power of God in the spiritual realm. The scripture in Timothy, which says, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. God gave us the spirit of power.
Yes.
And the spirit of power is the Holy Ghost. And that scripture uses the word dunamis. Remember, we studied that that was the inherent power, dunamis, the inherent power from which we get our word dynamics and dynamo and dynamite. It's an explosive inherent power that goes on and on. Now he said to them, oh, this is so powerful. Verse 8, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Don't leave town. Go lock yourself up in that upper room where we had the Last Supper, and wait until you receive this promise, this power. And when he comes, you shall, when the Holy Ghost has come upon you, you shall receive dunamis. That Amen. Word is dunamis. And with this dunamis, then you can be witnesses of the resurrection. That's what we're witnesses of. Our message is the resurrection. And so,
signs and wonders,
signs, wonders
say that Jesus is alive.
They say he's alive and he's doing this.
He's raised up.
He's doing this.
Works.
What you see right now
That's
in front
right.
of your eyes.
Amen.
He's the same yesterday, today, and forever.
That's right.
And he's doing this sign. He's doing this wonder. He's healing this
he's
body.
The healer.
He's delivering this person from demons.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were in one accord and they were in that place and the Holy Ghost came upon them. And they spoke with other tongues. That's the initial evidence, and it's one of the signs. And of course, they went about doing things. All the book of Acts is about their witness that Jesus is alive and about signs and wonders and miracles after they'd preached happening. And so in chapter 41, verse 41 of chapter 2, it says, they that received his word, Peter preached the first day there after they'd received the Holy Ghost, and 3,000 people got born again. Why? Praise they God. Saw a sign. They saw him there speaking the wonderful works of God, speaking with other tongues. That was a sign. And his preaching was with power. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and his prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs
Glory to
were
God.
Done by the apostles.
That was the will of God.
That was the
manifest.
Will of God. Hallelujah. Now, in chapter 3, Peter and John are going up to the temple to pray, and they pass this man at the gate beautiful who's been crippled from birth. And he begs for alms, and they say, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. He rises up and walks. It upsets the hierarchy, the religious hierarchy. They throw Peter and John in jail. And
think of that now. Why did they throw them in jail? Because a man got healed.
A man got healed by the power of God.
So they put them in jail.
They put them in jail. Now, they took them before the council. They took them to the court. And they didn't know what to do with them, Peter and John. And look what they said in verse 16, saying, what shall we do with these men? For that indeed a notable miracle has been done by them is manifest to all. Now this word miracle is the word, the Greek word for sign, a sign that what they're preaching has happened. And it's manifest. You can see it. This is the Greek word phaneron, phaneros. It's visible. It's manifested to sight is what it means. We've had a sign here, And it's manifested to sight. What are we going to do with them? Well, we'll command them not to preach or teach anymore in the name of Jesus. And so they, when they were let go, they went to their own company. Verse 23, Acts 4:23, being let go, they went to their own company and reported all the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God in one accord. And they said, Lord, thou art God, which has made heaven and earth and sea and all that in them is. And they said, verse 27, they've done all these things against your holy child, Jesus, whom you have anointed. Both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings. Now they didn't say, knock them all dead, silence them. They said, grant unto your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word.
Give us boldness.
How? Give us boldness. How? By stretching forth your hand to heal. The Holy Ghost is the hand of God.
That's right.
By stretching forth your hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done in the name of your holy child Jesus. They prayed for signs and wonders that their message was true. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spoke the word of God with power. And did their prayers get answered? Look at verse 23. With great power, that word's dunamis, gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. And we find this, verse 12 of chapter 5. By the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. Hallelujah. Witnessing the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ.
He's now, alive.
He is alive. And these signs and wonders are to be done in the lives of believers. You might say, well, just the apostles. No, it wasn't.
No,
it was done believers. Through the believers. It was done through the deacons. If we had time, we could trace it all through the New Testament church. We could see how it was done through believers, just like he said. He said, these signs shall follow them that believe. They shall cast out devils. And tomorrow, we're going to talk probably most of the time about casting out devils.
And the exciting thing is that still stands.
Still stands.
The signs and wonders haven't been taken away. It's good. It's there. He enforces it. You pray in the name of Jesus and things happen. Billy and I'll be right back.
Come home to the homecoming 2010 30th Annual Southwest Believers Convention in Fort Worth, Texas, August 2nd through 7th. Homecoming 2010 is designed to equip you with the Word of God so that you may live each day in the blessing. Immerse yourself in the Word with teachings from Kenneth Copeland, Gloria Copeland, Jerry Savelle, Jesse Duplantis, and Creflo Dollar. Friday morning, join Kenneth Copeland for a dynamic partner meeting. Saturday morning, Gloria Copeland teaches Healing School. Come expecting to receive your healing. Terry Pearsons hosts pre-service prayer every day. Youth services are available Monday through Friday. 1440 Student Ministries equips students to make every minute count for the glory of God for grades 6 through 12. And Commander Kelly and the Super Kids will be in session for kids ages 6 through 12. It's all free August 2nd through 7th, the Homecoming 2010 30th Annual Southwest Believers Convention. It's the only Believers Convention this year. Get on God's divine path. Something extraordinary is happening. Faith and power are impacting the world. The supernatural presence of God is building as believers are changing the world around them. The Power and the Glory package includes these dynamic resources: The Fire, the Light, and the Glory, a teaching series by Kenneth Copeland, The Blood and the Glory, a book by Billy Brim, and The Triumphant Church, Dominion Over All the Powers of Darkness, a book by Kenneth E. Hagin. Each of these resources will transform you into a world changer. They'll help you heighten your spiritual awareness, tap into God's power, and provide proof of God's Word through signs, wonders, and miracles. Activate the power and authority of the blood of Jesus in your everyday life and become a witness to the world that Jesus is alive. The power and the glory of God is about to shine in you. Order the Power and the Glory package at a special 45% savings, now only $30. For an additional product discount and 48-hour processing, order your package online at kcm.org. Another great product on this subject is the DVD series Awakening to God, also specially priced at $19. To request your copy by phone, call 800-600-7395, or you may write to Kenneth Copeland, Fort Worth, Texas 76192.
The Power and the Glory package, you want to get this. It's time. It should be manifested in my life and in your life every day, in our churches, in our families, hallelujah. This is Kenneth Copeland's 9 CDs, The Fire and the Glory, hallelujah. And this is Billy Brim, The Blood and the Glory. And this is Brother Hagin. Aren't we glad Brother Hagin can still preach to us? The Triumphant Church. These are great. All of them are great. We want to encourage you to get it. You know, if you want to change, you have to make a change. Mm-hmm. And you have to get busy yourself, feeding yourself with the Word of God. I'm going to pray for you. Billy and I are going to pray for you. And we're going to pray for your spiritual walk today. Yes, Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask you, Lord, to reveal to every one of us what we each need to do in order to grow more, in order to walk more accurately in this life and in the power of the resurrected Jesus.
Yes, resurrection.
Reveal
power.
These things to us, Lord. Anything that's holding us back, reveal it to us. Right now, I speak healing to the people. Be healed in the name of Jesus. Take your healing in Jesus' name. Begin to do what you couldn't do before and just say, Jesus is my healer. I receive my healing now in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. We're having some good meetings. We're going to have a homecoming. Everybody's coming. It's the big convention in 2010. It's the Southwest BC this year. It's homecoming. We're going to all gather in Fort Worth, and we're going to outdo ourselves in the Lord. Hallelujah. So let the Spirit of God have His way at the Fort Worth Convention Center, August the 2nd. Through the 7th, we're expecting. So bring your people, bring your family, bring your children, bring your parents. Come and let's believe God for an outpouring of the Spirit. It will be a life-changing meeting. Of course, the admission's free. If you want to pre-register, you'll receive a coupon to use at the KCM book tables. It'll be a blessing to you. I'm believing God. I'm really believing, Billy, for an outpouring of the Spirit of God.
I believe it too.
We're going to gather together. And you know, wherever we expect it, God moves.
That's right. Come expect it.
I mean, come believe in God. Start saying right now, I'm going to Fort Worth. I'm going to get in that convention. I'm going to see the power of God.
Yes.
Billy and I'll see you again tomorrow.
Praise
and remember
Lord.
This, Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for joining us today on the Believer's Voice of Victory. Come meet Gloria Copeland as she signs her new book, Live Long, Finish Strong, in bookstores on May 13th and 14th. For information on times and bookstore locations, go to kcm.org.